what man is to believe concerning God. This morning, in particular, we're looking at sanctification. In particular, progressive sanctification. There is a definitive sanctification in which at the point of, you know, at that when God acts in justification, when God acts in adoption, he imputes Christ's whole righteousness to us. So there's a sense in which we shall be no more holy from that point on, because we have all of Christ imputed to us, and before him we are completely set apart. That's a true, definite biblical teaching, but it's not what question 75 of the Larger Catechism is talking about. As one theologian years ago said, there's a whole lot of, I mean, these aren't exact words, there's a whole lot of doctrines the Bible teaches that as we distill them and as we teach them, as we think through them, are not taught the same in every passage. And so the point here is we're talking about progressive sanctification, not definitive. So what is sanctification? Sanctification is a work of God's grace, whereby they whom God has before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time, through the powerful operation of his Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life and all other saving graces put into their hearts, and those graces so stirred up, increased and strengthened, as that they may more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. And so as we continue and think through this, let's again, as we've been doing all along, we're just looking at and breaking down the various parts as we form an outline to understand what's saying. So sanctification is a work of God's free grace. So justification and adoption were styled an act of God's free grace. And so when we see this difference, we have to ask, what's going on here? What were the framers of the catechism getting at when they make this distinction? And so justification and adoption are punctiliar. There's a point in time before which you were dead in your trespasses and sins, after which you have been justified, accepted, and accounted as righteous in God's sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. And so there is a point of time, though it's not only is it not necessary, it's not always the case that that one can say this is that point or this is when. And so that's an act, but a work means it's an ongoing progressive thing that if you are in Christ, the moment you're justified, all of your sins, all of the corruption of your whole nature is still intact. And that as you move forward, that corruption is being undone, as we shall see later, by the application of Christ's death and resurrection. So, sanctification is a work of God's free grace, whereby those whom God has before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time. And so this is getting at that, yes, the elect are before the foundation of the world chosen, but there is a timeliness, a punctiliar, a time lapse of this, so that those who are elect are not born, as it were, with a different DNA code, so that they are not dead in their trespasses and sins. And so just as all are born dead in trespasses and sins, so all the elect are at some point made holy and righteous in Christ by justification. And then Christ is formed in them, making a reality that which was only accounted to them through the powerful operation of the Spirit. And so as we talk about sanctification, we cannot escape that this is the work of God's Spirit in us, that apart from the Spirit, there is no sanctification. Often, you've said it, you've heard it, oh, I just can't do this, and you are correct. No one can do this, but the Spirit in us makes it a reality. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That is the work of the Spirit in you. It's not to give you liver quivers. It's not to give you various experiences. It's to cause you to walk in God's statutes so that you are careful to obey his rules. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so the Spirit makes this into a reality. So he applies the death and resurrection unto them. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And so you were dead in your trespasses and sins, enslaved, a slave to sin. And now the Spirit is working in you and breaking those shackles so that those sins which you trafficked in now become odious to you. You die to them. They no longer have mastery over you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so the gospel that Christ died for your sins and was raised for your justifications is not just how you get saved. It's how you're made into Christ's likeness. And so that we might become the righteousness of God is the purpose of Christ's work. And so that is what the Spirit is doing. So he renews us in your whole man after the image of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so you are being renewed in the whole person, not just, well, I got a life preserver on and I'll get there. Having the seeds of repentance unto life and all other saving graces put into your hearts. And so just as we saw that faith is not alone, no particular grace is alone. All of these are brought together. There are several benefits which accompany and flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification. All those are given to you, and then the Spirit fans them into flame at his progressive rate. When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted us repentance unto life. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, but for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. And so, conversely, if one continues exactly in the same manner, it is a fruit of thorns and thistles as opposed to repentance unto life. So those graces given are so stirred up by the Spirit, increased by the Spirit, and strengthened by the Spirit. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what the Spirit's doing, that you may comprehend, that you may know this, not just that it may happen. And so Christ is at work through the Spirit to make this so, so that you die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. And here's the thing, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not able, not under law, but under grace. And so we are under the dominion of grace now. And so as such, sanctification is not something that, oh, I hope it happens. It's something that is the Spirit is working in all those who have been justified, all those who have been adopted. And so this will be completed on the day of Christ Jesus. There's no perfection, but then there is no rejection. There is no loss of those who are in Christ. Thank you for joining us. Join us next time as we continue our look at what man is to believe concerning God. Thank you, and God bless.